One of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Benyert Live.
Reverend Bob Benyert, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me seven simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those seven words?
And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyert, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On this program, four things. We're going to play an audio clip from KHAL Radio in Denver from last week with a board member of Colorado Right to Life calling into the Kaplis and Silverman show. Also, we're going to talk about Fred Thompson, a pro-abortion Republican hoping to get the nomination for president. We will talk about the movie Bella, and another movie, Return of the Daughters. You've probably heard of Bella, but not Return of the Daughters. First, we have in studio Lolita Hanks. Lolita, board member of Colorado Right to Life, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. And you are not only a board member of Colorado Right to Life, but also you are a nurse practitioner.
Yep, and I'm a mom first and foremost.
And you're a mom first and foremost. Okay, glad to hear that. That's, of course, a great honor, isn't it, to be a parent? Okay, so, Lolita, there is a task force for the Denver Public Schools recommending that they introduce what to the high schools?
Well, they want to introduce birth control via these health clinics that they have in the Denver Public Schools. And they're saying that if the parent gives permission for the kids to use the clinic, then they could have access to birth control, and that includes the pill.
The pill, it includes
the condoms. The morning after pill as well.
It includes, right, the morning after pill, Plan B, which is an abortifacient. The pill itself is an abortifacient.
That's right.
As it acts in its secondary mechanism. Okay, so I'd like us to begin with your call. You called into the VIP line last week on KHAL Radio. This is Kaplis and Silverman show. Only Dan Kaplis was in studio, thankfully. He's pro-life, Craig Silverman. You could have had a great debate with him, but he wasn't there, so you were able to say more than you might have.
That's probably true.
So let's listen to this clip with Lolita Hanks and Dan Kaplis.
So what do you think? Should Denver Public Schools, high schools, be dispensing the pill to high school students? What do you think about that? Hey, a lot of well-intentioned people trying to cut teen pregnancy rates in Denver high schools say, yeah, it's time to start dispensing the pill, but are they really missing the point, and are they going to create more problems than they solve? Lolita Hanks, welcome back to 630 KHW, Lolita.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, sure, our pleasure. So tell us why you oppose this plan.
Well, I'm also not just on the board of Colorado Right to Life, but I'm also a nurse practitioner. I'm a former teen mother, and I had an abortion as a teenager. And first of all, I would agree with you that this will increase sexual activity because it's basically condoning it. We don't tell kids not to do meth and then teach them how to use meth safely. I mean, that's ridiculous to even propose that. We also should never get in the middle of parents. And, you know, your last caller, well, the one before, Jennifer, was saying that, you know, we should do something like this for the minority of kids that don't have a good relationship with their parents. Well, I was one of those kids. And the Denver Public Schools taught me quite well how to have sex. And it, when I got pregnant, to have the abortion. And if she hadn't taught her daughter that, of course, the public schools probably have told her that that's an acceptable solution. We're going to see more abortion with this. We, you know, back in the 1960s, we had two sexually transmitted diseases, gonorrhea and syphilis. We now have over 30. We have so many strains of human papillomavirus that is not protected by condom use that we can't even count. The number goes anywhere from 90 to 120.
And
so what are we doing? And what are we doing to our young girls? We're telling them that they're easy prey for boys. They should just be sexually available for them, and that's just inappropriate. We should be teaching our girls that they should be treasured and valued, and we should be teaching our young men that they shouldn't put a hand on a girl at all unless they are going to marry her. Period. And that's when they can touch her. And we've really let that go. I've taught my kids those type of things. I will not subsidize any sex outside of marriage, and they know that. And by subsidizing, I mean that a lot of parents know that their kids are engaging in sex, and they continue to buy them the toys and, you know, do all this stuff for them. If they want to have adult behavior, there's responsibility that goes with that.
Yeah, and I'm on, obviously, the same, you know, side of this as you, Lolita, but how do you respond to the question that, well, wait a second, Lolita, it's counterintuitive to say that if you pass out more birth control, you'll have more abortion. What's your answer to that?
Well, my answer is part of the mechanism of birth control pills is as an abortifacient because it does make it more difficult if, you know, the egg does actually come out. If that mechanism doesn't get suppressed by the pill, it makes it more difficult for the fertilized egg to implant. So just by itself, it's an abortifacient. Secondly, a lot of teenagers, I mean, how many people that have teenagers, you have to remind them to do their homework. You expect them to take this pill faithfully, and then they should engage in this sexual activity without any thought at all to the consequences emotionally for these girls, not just physically.
Yeah, and I think
that's very disturbing because we have plenty of studies that show that there's increased risk of suicide, depression, drug and alcohol use that happens with sexually active girls. Yeah. And girls tend to be more emotionally sensitive because that's how we're built. We have oxytocin, which is a hormone that's released when we're sexually intimate with someone to bind us to that person. So you want your daughter to give away a piece of her soul with, you know, 10 different guys over 10 years starting from the age of 12 or 13?
Yeah, I think that's such a vital point, that the point about suicide rates, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, et cetera, stemming from, you know, intimate sexual encounters that then go bad. And hey, really appreciate your time, Lolita.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, I guess you didn't mention, but they're going to give out the morning after pill, too, which is also disturbing since it's 40 times stronger than a birth control pill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we don't know the long-term fallout of the use of that medication at all, but we do know that these are female steroids, and we don't advocate giving steroids to our boys, so why do we do it for our girls?
Yeah, hey, you make a great case. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Lolita Hanks from Colorado Right to Life.
You do make a great case, Lolita. Wow, you packed so much into that 4 minutes on KL Radio. I think there were people driving around in rush hour in Denver who were just simply stunned to hear all that truth. So powerful. And you have the background. You were there, tragically, as a student
right.
in Denver Public Schools.
Right.
You shared personal history, so you know what you're talking about, and you have the degree and the experience to back it up.
Well, I figured I only had 4 or 5 minutes to say what I wanted to say, so I better squeeze it in.
Yeah, it was very powerful. And there is also a deception that goes out to parents. I mean, parents need to know that it's wrong for kids to have sex outside of marriage. Many parents don't know that.
No, they don't seem to, and they seem to just take the approach of they're going to do it anyway. Well, we don't take that approach of they're going to be heroin addicts anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're going to do
ridiculous.
Drugs anyway. When you take that kind of attitude, if you have lousy expectations for young people, they'll turn out lousy.
Yeah, they'll meet them every time.
Right. If you have high expectations, that's why, for example, homeschool families, those kids do so much better academically, socially, maturity-wise. They just do better because those parents have higher expectations.
That's right.
For their kids. When you think, hey, my kid is just like a dog, you know, he's a dog, and dogs do it wherever they can get it, and so that's what my kid's going to be. My kid, hey, he's my own kid. I know he's going to be a dog. If you think like that of your kids, then that's how they're going to turn out.
Exactly.
Human beings have this heritage in that we were made in God's image and his likeness, unlike animals. And, you know, we had a homosexual author on this show a while back, and he said part of his defense was that, well, animals are animals, like in the animal kingdom, will engage in homosexual acts occasionally. So I said, well, are you saying that homosexuals are like pigs and dogs? Is that your argument? And he was somewhat stunned and taken aback by that. I said, if that's your argument with their behavior, I have a hard time disagreeing with that. But we human beings, we don't eat our young. We're not to eat our young.
That's right.
Animals will eat their young. They'll eat one another while they're still alive. That's why we call them animals. Human beings are not right. to be animals. We have young men and young women that we are destroying because we've accepted this godless education system and a godless view of what it means to be a human being.
That's right. And some of the other problem is, too, that so many of these parents just seem to think that somehow self-control is just going to pop up and appear. Like when the kids get the wedding ring, all of a sudden they're going to learn self-control. These are the formative years. These people are talking about just for high school right now, but pretty soon they'll be like Maine and they'll be down to the middle school wanting to hand your 11-year-old daughter the pill.
Right. The state of Maine has a school district in it with a middle school where they went through this whole process and said, we're going to give out birth control pills to middle school kids, which is as young as 11 years old.
Right, and that's real appropriate because if you have a family history of clots or they're smoking and nobody ever asks, I mean, you're increasing the risk of getting blood clots. I mean, your child could die over something like this, and I don't think people really realize that. And we're not just talking about the lifelong legacy of having, you know, the potential to have an abortion, being destroyed by that, having children out of wedlock and trying to struggle and raise the next generation without a father. I mean, these are things parents need to think about. When you have a child, you need to look at the long-term picture. What do I want that person to look like as an adult? It's not a short-term view of, you know, we'll just get through this homework assignment and, you know, they're so short-sighted. Like I've told you before, my son's been invited to co-ed sleepovers by Christian parents, and I'm horrified. And they say, oh, well, they're good kids. Well, so what? They may be good kids, but that doesn't mean the temptation is something that you invite into your home and that you expect them to have the stamina to withstand that. The Bible says flee from temptation. Don't argue with it. Don't invite it into your home.
Yeah, and then there are church youth groups where they have co-ed or sleepovers and stay all night locked in the gymnasium or whatever. And what bad ideas. And then the church youth group becomes a wedge to separate the good Christian parents from their own kids.
That's
which
right.
is such a shame. I know that happens at a lot of Christian schools also.
Yeah, it so does.
And homeschooling and the best Christian schools. Don't assume because the school is Christian that it's going to be a great school.
Well, you still have to be. My kids go to a Christian school, and you still have to be on your guard.
On your guard, very much so. We also have this issue of them claiming that, well, the parents have to give permission. Okay, so let me see how this works. Some 17-year-old punk goes to the school nurse and says, I'd like some condoms.
Mm-hmm.
So she gives him condoms. Then they're at a party Friday night, and this guy's daughter is at the party. What is he saying? Okay, honey, I'm going to let you have sex with that punk over there because he got permission from his dad. There's no permission there.
No, there isn't.
And that kid is going to give the condoms to any of his friends who want them. And that girl, if she gets pregnant or she knows if she has sex, her friend will ask for the morning after pill so she can have sex on the weekend, and her friend asks for the pill on Monday morning and she takes it.
Right. Well, and you know, part of the liberal argument is that there's always the minority of kids that don't have the good relationship with the parents. So therefore, the school should step in and be in the role
the
of the parents.
And, the dad.
And that's just inappropriate because that's what happened to me because my mother had a mental illness and my stepfather worked two jobs. I was always by myself. Hmm. And so the school, yeah, they stepped in. They did a really good job. They taught me lots of horrendous things.
Right. Me too. I remember 1973, in fact, in health school, being told that abortion is legal. I started freshman year in high school in 1973.
And what was the purpose of telling you that it was legal?
Oh, and they encouraged us to, you know, if you're having sex and your girlfriend gets pregnant, you could take her and get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just become a Christian about 5 months earlier.
Wow.
And I had never heard of abortion, never heard of it until then, till we had these adults encouraging us, and sexual immorality got virtually no education regarding sexual immorality at church or 8 years Catholic grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Well, and people say that they want sex taught values free, but it's never going to be values free because if it's not God's values, it's going to be somebody else's values.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to decide what values you want your children to have.
Right. And so the number one issue is that it is wrong to have sex outside of marriage, So it is wrong to lower the boundary, the barrier, to reduce the ability of the young girls to be their number one line of defense against the boyfriend who's urging her, pushing her, trying to break down her resistance.
Or against a teacher, truthfully. How many teachers are abusing their students?
Oh, yeah, that's a crisis. We've talked about that for years. And just imagine the male nurse who's giving birth control to your 15 and 16-year-old daughter.
That's right.
How's that one? So he knows, hey, this girl comes in. He knows, hey, she's sexually active. So maybe he puts her initials on a special list.
Yeah, maybe.
That he keeps. Because it is a crisis with sex between teachers and students. And students and students, it's just, of course, out of control epidemic. About 20 years ago, the Rocky Mountain News printed a guest editorial I wrote, had to do with Adams City High School. I don't know if you remember this, Lolita. They introduced condoms. They were giving out condoms to the kids 20 years ago. And I was involved. I was on the District Accountability Committee, vice chair of the Adams County District 14 Accountability Committee. And I objected.
Mm-hmm.
Many parents objected. Of course, they didn't care. The superintendent was visually excited that they're going to give condoms to the kids. And so I resigned from that post. I wrote a resignation letter, and three local papers printed my resignation letter. And in it, I quoted from the research and said, sexual activity and pregnancy will go up
right
in this high school, Adams City High School, not down because of this misguided, immoral program. 3 years later, the Rocky Mountain News reprinted my entire resignation letter. It was a good, like a quarter of a page. Because in 1 year, 104 babies were born to the female students, to the girls at Adams City High School in Commerce City. 104 babies in
That's
1 year.
That's tragic.
Tragic. Gateway High School, similar. They had 80 babies born in 1 year. I think then they stopped reporting statistics.
Yeah, I'm sure.
After that year. And so I think it's time for the Rocky Mountain News to reprint my speak out column.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because here it's going to happen all over again in Denver citywide. Just devastating. Okay, so now we have Fred Thompson to talk about, who wants the Republican nomination for president. And pro-lifers think he's pro-life.
No, he's not pro-life.
He's not pro-life?
No, not at all.
He's just a liar.
He's a liar.
He's a liar, which goes together. That's almost
right.
Redundant to say Republican nominee. Republican campaigning for president, they say they're pro-life. Now, Alan Keyes, he has a history of being absolutely against abortion. He is absolutely against abortion. He believes in the God-given right to life, and you cannot regulate the killing of unborn children.
That's right, and he's not afraid to speak out about that. You know, it's disturbing about Thompson, too. His wife was interviewed a few weeks ago, and she said that his primary concerns were going to be our prosperity and national security. So what does that tell us? That means that he's not interested in the rights of unborn people or elderly people or disabled people. He's just interested in people making money and that not too many illegals come in America. That's basically about it. That's the interest. And
yeah.
Then he also flaunted that after he got divorced that he spent, you know, so many years just kind of running around with women. I mean, that's just disgusting. Of course he's a pro-abort under those circumstances.
Yeah, so he could be another Republican bloodshed candidate.
Of course.
Shedding innocent
blood.
There's
no difference between him and Giuliani, except for, I guess, Giuliani's been married more.
Hmm. So we have Fred Thompson appearing this week on NBC's Meet the Press. Meet the Depressed, that's how.
Yeah, I think Depressed Rush. Is better.
Meet the Depressed with Tim Russert. And Russert asked him, could you run as a candidate promising a human life amendment banning all abortions? He says, no, this has been my position the entire time I've been in politics. I thought Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided. Thompson told Russert he favors returning the decision on abortion to the states. And he said, quote, before Roe v. Wade, states made those decisions. I think people ought to be free at state and local levels to murder children, kill Jews, and own blacks, said Fred Thompson. No, I added that last
part. I know you added that, but that's what he should think about when he says those kind of things.
Yeah, it's completely immoral. And, of course, what it means is he couldn't care less about killing kids.
No, of course not.
No, he's a pro-abort. He just lies. And Republican pro-life Christians, they like to be lied to. James Dobson said last week, 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C., he said the pro-life movement is the mistress of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
They bring us out during the campaigns. They get our money, our votes, and then that's it. They don't want to be seen with us.
Right. And it's just the same way as what the Democrat Party treats blacks, truthfully. Mm. They just want their vote every 2 and 4 years, and then they treat them like, you know, dirt the rest of the time.
That's a good point. And this is just another problem with democracy and republics. The concept is flawed. It doesn't work. Politicians lie to special interest groups, and we're a special interest group.
Right.
We say, don't murder the innocent.
Right.
Most people don't care about that, so that makes it a special interest.
Mm-hmm.
But, the politicians lie to people who are crying out about injustice or whatever, and it actually provides this opportunity for them to lie, and it makes them worse. And they're trying to lord it over and they're control freaks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess.
It is a mess.
What a tragedy. Okay, a couple movies. Bella and Return of the Daughters.
Yes, Bella was very, very good. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it.
Yeah, Cheryl and I went to see Bella Saturday night up in Westminster at the Promenade. And we just loved it. It was a great movie. And it has a pro-life message. And I talked to one of the producers of Bella earlier today. And he's actually a longtime friend of Bob and Yart Live. In fact, even more than a friend.
Oh, that's great.
Very closely involved with BEL for years. And you could get this information over the internet, but it's been in the top three movies. Its first week out, it was in the top three of revenue per screen.
Hmm.
It's done extremely well in the cities that it's in, but we are praying that it gets a release nationwide.
Yeah, that would be great.
Right now it's only in 31 cities, and we're glad it's in Denver. But check out Bella. If it's in your city, please do yourself a favor. Go see it. Bring your wife. It's a nice date movie. It's a family movie. And I don't want to give the story out. There's symbolism in it.
It's hard to tell what it is exactly without giving the story away.
Yeah, and the woman takes a bite of the apple on the train, and there's all kinds of fun stuff in it.
Well, and the guy that's the main character in the movie, he said that he wasn't living a very godly life, and his mother had been praying for him, and he needed to learn English to be in the movie. And so this English teacher he had, she evangelized him. She witnessed to him and told him he wasn't living by God's commandments. He was, you know, his body was the temple of the Lord, and he was abusing it, and... Mm. So it's a real fascinating testimony he has.
Yeah, and the story is written because years ago, this guy went to an abortion clinic to find out what the protests were about, and some woman grabbed him, a pro-lifer, said, "You speak Spanish? Come here, translate. You got to talk to this woman." And he did the best he could, and the woman changed her mind, and the baby was saved.
Oh, that's so nice.
And now this movie has, so far, 7 confirmed saves. The movie itself.
That's great.
Pregnant women seeing the movie, planning to have an abortion, and, of course, the movie is a tearjerker. It's just a great movie.
It is.
Okay, so
we saved a baby on Saturday, too.
Saturday at 20th and Vine at Planned Parenthood, a mom was going to kill this child, and the pro-lifers there from Colorado Right to Life, from Denver Bible Church and other churches intervened, and what happened?
Well, I wasn't there, but I just heard that they were able to talk her out of it, and so we're real thankful.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of people accuse those of us that go out to the clinic of, you know, well, you haven't adopted a kid and you haven't done this or that. But, you know, we do a lot to help those families to, you know, we help the moms with jobs. Mm-hmm. We help them move. I mean, mm-hmm. we're doing whatever we can to help mm-hmm. them.
I had Brian Orbaugh in the studio a while back, and afterward I got an email from some liberal pro-abort, angry that we were saying it's wrong to kill kids. And he said, "I wonder how many children Brian Orbaugh has adopted."
Wrong question.
And I know. It was obviously 2
right.
beautiful little kids, Isaac and Rachel from the Ukraine with Brian and his wife Lisa. But you know what? I didn't email that listener back because he doesn't care.
No,
he supports killing kids. He's not going to say, oh, wow, I guess he's not a hypocrite. I guess I will listen.
Right.
So just like the Bible says it in some places, if you're wicked, be wicked. You're a liar, be a liar. You're filthy, be filthy.
That's right.
It's real tragic. Okay, so now, Return of the Daughters. What a great video. You've seen it?
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. It was really, really good. But I have to tell you that when I was done watching it, I felt so upset. I felt lied to by feminism. And I just, it really just made me realize I didn't want that for my daughter.
Well, you don't want your daughter to be lied to. So
no,
let's talk about this movie produced by Vision Forum, and then we'll see why were you angry after seeing it. Now, Jason Troyer and I went down to San Antonio for a film festival a couple weeks ago, and our video, Focus on the Strategy 2, was a film finalist. It did very well.
Very exciting.
Really exciting. So that we got some bragging rights out of that.
That's right.
Right? Film festival at this major Christian independent film festival every year in San Antonio. Well, Vision Forum produced this video, Return of the Daughters, about seven young women who have decided their education, you know, through high school is complete, and they're each looking forward to getting married. So in those intervening years, many women go out, they get a job, they go live off campus, they go to college. These seven women decide to live at home and to be servants to their family, to love their parents, their siblings, and to help their dads if their dad has a ministry, if he has a career, a business. Maybe he's an employee, but he also has ministry hopes. He wants to reach out to the community. These seven women, young women, are being a blessing to their parents in those intervening years.
Yeah, and it was really fabulous. And, you know, that's not what feminism tells us. And, you know, part of this public school and birth control thing kind of links back to that, because then girls think, well, you know, they get in trouble because they think that that's what they have to do because they want this attention from young boys when they really need to be getting the attention from their father.
Hmm.
And so then they end up pregnant in trouble, all this stuff, and they have to have the abortion because they have this career they just have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, I've done that, and I have the career and the kids and all that, and it just doesn't work. People can't have two full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. And mm-hmm. it's a lie. It's a deception. And, you know, I see in my daughter, at least, I know that she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, and I don't want that vision to get interrupted. And I think by sending her off to college that it would be. And you talk a lot about how we need to protect our daughters, and I don't think that that stops just because they're 18.
Mm.
That's just a number. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're mature and they can do everything on their own.
Mm-hmm. So what a tremendous movie. So many of the films made for Vision Forum's film festival are really fabulous.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
This one is just so. We showed it at church, Denver Bible Church, yesterday, and Jason Troyer played it after church. We had a potluck, and then he played it in one of the classrooms at Maranatha Christian Center. That's where we meet, by the way. If anybody'd like to come out, if you have a great church and you're growing in the Lord, well, then please, you know, congratulations. That's great. If you'd like to grow more than you are, if you don't have a church, coming out to Denver Bible Church in Arvada. We meet Sunday mornings for Sunday school at 9:30. I teach Sunday school, but it's pretty interactive, isn't it?
It is. It is. We have fun.
Yeah, we have a great time. We probably had 60 people in our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class yesterday, and what a fabulous conversation we had. Always about the Bible and how to apply the Bible to our lives. And then we had a potluck after church at 11 to noon. And then after the potluck, some people went to watch Return of the Daughters. And I recommend it. You recommend
it?
Yes,
I do. It's very good.
What a great movie, available from Vision Forum. Thank you, Lolita, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and Maranatha, what a great school.